This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hold on to that.
Welcome back to the Shit Show 2.0.
Okay, Boomer.
Damn millennials. Wow.
Did not know that.
Even flirters who are obviously mentally ill.
You want to be my wife?
Oh, this is going to go downhill real quick.
What is going on? And welcome to Take on World with
Johnny
and Mike D.
It is week number 3 of recording, and I haven't changed my shirt at all.
And you stink.
I stink.
You smell like a Italian sandwich.
I think I peed on myself last night.
Jesus.
And my weak attempt of making pancakes.
You peed on yourself while you were making pancakes?
No, after I was done.
Oh, that's better.
Sometimes I like to reward myself.
Jesus.
Get a little kinky on the homestead.
So, this week.
This week in 2024, it's been raining cats and dogs. Can't go nowhere. It is getting nice outside, though.
Is it?
No, not right now.
Oh, it's supposed to be nice all this week.
Yeah, good.
Like
good.
Up in the 60s.
Because I want to go hit that trail up. Try and burn some of this winter fat off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my doctor is probably going to tell me I'm got about 6 months to live.
My doctor just told me that I'm doing really well.
Yeah, I heard that. That's awesome, man.
I was actually shocked.
I am too. I thought that the last time you got bad news or something, you had to pull over and steal your lunch.
He doesn't know anything about my liver because it's not that doctor.
Oh. But, so that might be a whole different story.
I'll drink to that.
Well, listen, I need to go because when I moved, I stopped. They pissed me off, the doctors. And it's like I had to fight to get my medication. And they're like, well, why don't you try this pharmacy and that pharmacy? And I'm like, and I just didn't feel like doing it. I don't feel like I should have to do that. The medication I was on, I couldn't get. And then I stopped taking it. And then I just stopped taking everything else because I was blood pressure medication and what's that shit, plaque, whatever the fucking, for your cholesterol medication, which he said, he's like, your cholesterol is not too bad. He's like, but I don't like it where it's at. And I said, okay. And but as far as my like heart rate, my blood pressure, I go in and it was always sky high. And they're like, what's going on? Why is it? No, they put me in there. They basically tripled my medication and it didn't work. So I stopped taking it. And that's where I'm at now. But I should go because I want to be healthy.
I've always had good blood pressure. And the funny thing is every time a doctor or nurse takes my blood pressure, they're like surprised that it's good.
Jeez,
I expected yours to be sky high, fat fuck.
Yeah, you're rather healthy, fatso.
The doctor was happy with where my cholesterol was going. He was happy with my blood sugar because I've never really had blood sugar problems. But
yeah, I think that's more of a hereditary thing. I think in a lot of cases it is, but
I'm pretty sure my dad's diabetic,
but like nobody in my family is diabetic. I'm the first one. Thank you.
You overachiever.
Yeah. Nobody in my family has a fucked up hip. Me, I got a gigantic fucking lag screw on my hip.
You know, something like that could prevent you from going in the military.
I know, you know, well, let me tell you the story. Just so happens I have one.
So the
year was 1996.
Fastest man alive, they say.
runs a 40-meter dash in 10 seconds.
Usually when we do a topic, we do a topic through the lens of history. Our last one was the Hinder Kaifek murders, which was confusing as hell.
God, I almost Hinder Kaifek myself.
But I did find it interesting. There was so much going on with it. It's just too much going on.
Like, way too much going on.
There's like 50 suspects.
Yeah. And they all blame their brother.
Yeah. Well, there was like four sets of brothers that were suspected.
Too much. Yeah.
So this time we're doing something that was just happened. So technically it's history because it's like 3 weeks ago. But again, we look at things through a historical lens mostly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about this past week, NASA launched the first mission to the moon since 1973. So it's weird because it wasn't, it's NASA through a private company.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the first privately built vehicle to make it to the moon surface.
That's cool. I see. I think privately funded, they could do it probably quicker and faster.
With it, yeah, it cost much less than
it costs.
And in my research, it talks about that some. But before we do that, I want to talk about the Deluxe Edition Network.
Okay.
Because like going to the moon is the pinnacle of space travel right now. Deluxe Edition Network is the pinnacle of podcasting.
The pinnacle.
Deluxe Edition Network is a group of podcasters, 30 plus, all coming together with the common goal to support each other and offer you a wide variety of content. So go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Check out all the great podcasts and remember to always come back to Take on the World because we rock. And we could really lose some people listening.
We can use more than two people.
While you're listening to our show, you don't be afraid to comment and give a thumbs up and follow us and
subscribe. Say what's on your mind.
Blah, 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 blah.
You hate our guts?
Algorithm, algorithm, algorithm.
If you love me, dislike Michael?
I doubt that's ever happened in the history of the mankind.
Let us know.
But while you're at Deluxe Edition Network, you want to check out the podcast of the month. And this month, the podcast of the month are... Drink O'Clock Podcast. They interview anyone and talk about anything that they find interesting. Drinks will be involved and shenanigans may be had. Quad Pro Quo Podcast is a weekly film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs, hosted by two couples who happen to be friends and live next door to each other. The new episodes drop every Thursday, and you can find them wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you check them out. The Steve and Crypto Show Podcast is a Rondo Award-nominated podcast that covers pop culture, horror, featuring great interviews, conversations, special guest segments with creators, entertainments from all mediums, while keeping a sense of humor. And we're back.
Hey, what's up?
So make sure you check out those podcasts. NASA and SpaceX sent a lander to the moon. It was the first time since 1972. And it's the first privately built vehicle to land on moon surface. Everything seemed to go pretty flawless. However, seems is all it was because they did have an issue when the I hear something over there. When the lander, which was...
Hold on, let me go check the tool shed.
Odysseus landed, it actually tipped over.
That's not good.
No.
Is this one of these ones like the...
We blow a wall, but they don't fall down?
No, the Elon Musk rocket
that
lands back standing up?
So, yeah, the carrier comes back and lands back on Earth so they could reuse it.
Yeah.
Which I think is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But when this landed on the moon, it I guess because of the uneven soil, it kind of tipped over. And it didn't fall completely on its side, but it tipped over. And they thought it landed perfectly. And then they realized, oh, shit, we're kind of laying on our side up there since it's unmanned. Launched aboard a SpaceX rocket on February 15th.
You know what's crazy? I had no clue about this.
Really?
None whatsoever.
I see, I've always been interested in space travel, so.
I have too. But yeah, I you think that would have been, was it in the news?
Yes. No. Yes, it was.
All you hear in the news is the, well, I only see the news when I go to work. And it's just about, you know, the border and Biden and Trump. That's it. It gets a little old.
It does get old. I'd stop watching.
Yeah.
So it pulled into lunar orbit on the 21st, and it landed 185 miles from the South Pole on the moon on the 22nd. NASA paid Intuitive Machines $118 million under a program known as Commercial Lunar Payload Services. Top NASA, I'm not going to try to pronounce names that I don't know anymore. A top NASA scientist.
We done with that?
Science officer.
Beat up by the, with all the German mispronunciations.
Yeah. Well, this looks like a German freaking name too.
Yeah. I would say Thomas
Zurbuchen.
Zurbuchen.
Zurbuchen. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's Russian. A former NASA science official stated that the CLPS program in 2018 estimated that the robotic lunar lander designed, built, and operated in a traditional NASA manner would have cost $500 million to $1 billion, at least five times more than the space agency paid Intuitive Machines. Intuitive Machines had a contract for two more CLPS missions. Other companies are expected to take their shot at the moon too. Astrobic technologies.
Astrobotic. Yeah. So
over there. Astrobotic technologies. A Pittsburgh-based company.
Yay!
Go Pennsylvania! Go Penguins! Has a second mission preparation to take a robotic NASA rover to one of the shadowed regions where there might be ice, which is cool because for years they thought there was no water on the moon. Now they're finding there's these ice deposits on the moon.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Firefly Aerospace near Austin, Texas has its Blue Ghost lander mostly ready, but has not announced a launch date. The moon's polar regions have attracted much interest in recent years because frozen water hidden in the shadows of the craters are there. So these shadowy areas in these craters never get light. So the ice never melts.
I wonder what you could do with water on the moon.
I don't know. The fact that there's water there is amazing.
Yeah, like... water means life. Come back.
Other than the U.S., the only government space program, only the government space programs of the Soviet Union, China, and India, and Japan have successfully put robotic landers on the moon surface.
Mm. I would kind of say that, correct me if I'm wrong, but we might be the leader in the quote-unquote space race, if you want to call it that anymore.
I don't. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the space race in a few minutes.
That was basically just a dick measuring contest.
Yeah.
And but probably like on epic proportions. Like, it's so cool. Anyways, I don't want to spoil it.
On astronomic proportions.
Astronomical. Galactical.
Two companies, iSpace of Japan and Astrobotic Technologies of Pittsburgh, have previously tried and failed as has an Israeli nonprofit, Space IL.
Spacel.
It's capital I.
Space Illinois.
A crewed lunar flyby, Artemis 2, is anticipated in 2024. And the first crew landing, Artemis 3, can come as early as 2025. So I asked, why the fuck are we going back to the moon?
That is a good question. Well, if there's water there and they find it, that's...
Well, that's one of the big reasons. And they want to know if there's any microbes in that water. They want to know, they want to know everything they can about that water. So they're going to bring it back here and we're going to be invaded by aliens. Right.
We're going to have the world's most expensive... You mean moon water.
The most expensive drop of water cost you $550 million for one taste.
One sip of the golden moon water.
But it cures all your ills.
I would not try it, would you?
No, because I don't have $550 million.
I just would be scared. I don't know. It just seems like there would be something in it that would...
Well, the speculation is some of the water that's there came from Earth.
Yeah, because didn't one time the moon collided with the Earth in the beginning? And then that's...
Yeah, nobody was here to tell me. I don't know.
you didn't get that memo?
No, I didn't. So why go to the moon? With advanced technology from 60 years ago, new samples, new means of obtaining samples could yield new information. All six Apollo landings took place on the moon's equator because it was easier to land there. So the outer regions where they're discovering ice on poles because the sunlight never hits it were never really explored. The opportunity to study that ice has become a priority.
I think it is so cool and so impressive that our country has the wits. Somebody standing here on Earth was like, I'm going to build a rocket. It's going to go up to that fucking rock in the space there.
Yeah.
Land on it. And not only land on it, we're going to get out and we're going to walk around and then come back. And I can't even go on the roof with my bag of tools and get the right thing. And just the factors that are into it, that, you know, because there, I remember reading somewhere they said there was like some kind of, and this is why they're trying to say, well, they never landed on the moon because there's a belt of radiation that you would never be able to get through, and they're like, yeah, well, we know that, and we went around it, dumb fuck. And or like we went through the smaller part of it, and they explained it like, and I was like, God, how do you figure that out? That's so fucking cool. Like, I struggle with like addition and subtraction, and
I can't even count my fingers.
Imagine if we were like, hey, we went a rocket that's going to go to the moon. We would be that guy who built that steam rocket that fucking went up about 300 foot and then smashed into the ground again. Okay, I'm done. Let's go to Coppers.
I give up. Let's get a beer.
So they're also using these missions as a stepping stone to a mission to Mars. Mars is at least 200 times farther from the Earth than the moon, which means an enormous challenge in keeping astronauts safe from such things as radiation exposure. And that was one thing that like I found amazing about those missions. Like, the amount of radiation they're exposed to when they go into space, because there's no atmosphere to protect them from the radiation.
Right.
And how they keep them safe from that radiation. And I'm surprised these guys coming that went up and came back didn't immediately get cancer and all kinds of other shit.
Glow in the dark.
Yeah. The launch window to get to Mars is once every 2 years. So we would be thinking about keeping our astronauts on the surface of Mars for a long period of time. Personally, I feel... Who said this? Hardgrove. I don't know who Hardgrove is.
Hardgrove?
Hardgrove.
Okay.
I personally feel like we'd be doing them a service and everyone a service if we test out these technologies on the moon first. That makes sense.
He's just some hobo on the street they found.
This hobo's. Yeah, I think, you know, if we're going to go to Mars. Glug, 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 glug.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Hey, I got another cigarette.
Let me tell you about going to Mars.
If I were you, just saying.
So basically, they want to test out everything that they're going to use on Mars on the moon first.
Okay, so that makes sense. It's easier to get to the, well, less distance, cheaper to get to the moon.
Right. But God,
that would terrify me. Could you imagine being in space?
I would love it.
I think I would love it, but I would probably look like a dog shit in razor blades. I always ask people that question. I'm like, if you had one chance to go to the moon or go into space, would you? You're like, hell fucking yeah. I mean, I'm terrified of roller coasters. I don't know when I became such a bitch. That, like, the last time I went to a theme park, I was like, I'll be down here eating a funnel cake. I'm going to strap my fat ass into a fucking rocket.
There has been talk of moving towards a permanent human presence on the moon.
That would have to be boring.
Colonize the moon.
But what you put all that stuff on there and it ain't going to spin right.
Well, the moon doesn't spin.
Done it?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Or maybe it does. I don't know.
This is why we don't work for NASA.
I could be a complete idiot.
We don't even know if the moon spins or not. We take on the world, everything except to the moon.
Another reason that they're talking about going to the moon again, a venture like this is bound to require new technologies, sparking new technologies and innovations to be developed.
You know what I was going to say? Like, I'm sure the spacesuits have had to change since the 60s. You know
how they
bulky and clumpy they are.
The new ones look like freaking
like you see in the movies, like streamlined, thinner, like fucking they got yoga pants now. Where those female astronauts.
So the United States missions, moon missions, started in 1958. That's when the first one. It was a failed lunar flyby attempt due to a launch vehicle malfunction. Also in 1958, reached lunar distance but failed to escape Earth's gravity.
You know, I forgot, and I why does the I just answered my own question. Never mind. I was gonna say, why does the spacecraft have to be going so fast to come back into the Earth's atmosphere? You always see like the fireball and it has to withstand all that heat shaking. And
if they don't go fast enough, they can't breach the atmosphere.
I thought it was just because, well, we have to go that fast to get to the moon in a reasonable amount of time. Right. And there's no resistance in space. So you're just going that fast. And rather than take the extra fuel to slow the rocket down to have a safer entry, they just go in it.
If they don't hit the atmosphere at the right angle, they'll bounce off.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like a big old bouncy house.
The bitch said, not tonight, motherfucker. Oh, come on, baby. I'm wearing a rubber.
And also in 1958, so they had three times in 1958, they tried twice, failed. The first successful flyby of the moon. For the United States, returning data on temperature and radiation. 1959, second successful flyby, confirmed the moon's lack of magnetic field. And that was Pioneer 0 through 4. The Ranger missions in 1964, first up-close images of the lunar surface before impact. 1965, more detailed close-up images of the moon before impact, and 1965 again, Ranger 9, high-resolution images of the moon landing site for Apollo 11. So they're building up to Apollo 11 here.
Gotcha. I see what you did. Apollo 11 is what landed on the moon. Successful landing.
Yeah.
With humans?
Yes.
Aboard?
Yes. Lunar Orbiter 1 in 1966 was the first lunar orbiter mapping large areas of the surface.
I'm glad you went through this thing because, like, I am very interested in it, but I didn't go into detail. So I'm thinking, like, you know, yes, it's amazing we got to the moon and we landed on it, but there was a bunch of trial and error.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, okay, we're going to get there, like, maybe halfway and then come back. So it's just, like, progressively getting closer and closer, seeing what happens, taking measurements, whatever. And then it's not like one day that the very first mission was a successful trip through the moon where we landed.
Right. So, like, the Pioneer missions are 0 through 4. So that's 5 missions. They had 2 successful flybys of the moon. Mm-hmm. Now, the Ranger missions in 1964 started Ranger 7. What happened through 1 through 6? Did they blow up before they left the atmosphere?
They might have.
I don't know. But they're talking about the first close-up images of the moon before impact, blah, blah, high resolution before for the Apollo 11.
We got better pictures of the moon that's how many miles away than fucking Bigfoot.
That's true.
Jesus Christ.
So Lunar Orbiter 1 was in 1966. And then that mapped large areas. 2, 3, 4, and 5 were in 66 and 67. Mapped potential landing areas for Apollo missions. So this was just mapping the moon. So then you have crewed missions. Apollo 8, first crew mission to orbit the moon, paving the way for lunar landing. So what happened to Apollo 1 through 7?
I don't know, man. It's like, that's like a Glock. Like, why do they name all their Glocks weird names? Mm-hmm. Like,
so
I don't think it has anything to do with...
I don't know. I'm going to have to look up, and I should have looked it up before because I've already looked at this information. So
it's probably the drunk hobo they hired.
Here's Apollo 8.
If I were you, I'd name it Apollo. Just skip 1 through 7.
Well, then 9's not on here. Apollo 9's not on here. And I wonder if there was some kind of failure that it didn't launch or whatever.
You think it'd list that, though, you know?
I only researched actual U.S. missions.
Okay. Well, then I don't think if it failed, I wouldn't consider that a mission. They probably didn't list it because they don't want Russians seeing that and being like, oh, look how many times they failed.
You look at the numbers, you know something's
up. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. What happened to 1 through 7?
So Apollo 10 is in 1969. Rehearsed lunar landing procedures. Woo. In lunar orbit. Apollo 11, first successful lunar landing. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin were the first human beings on the moon. Who was the third guy?
I don't know. But he never left the ship.
Right. Who was it?
I don't remember his name. Bob Clark.
Bob Clark.
Bob Hope. Bob Dole.
He was holding his pen.
I don't know. He was the same one that I was telling you about that it was in the ship and he didn't, he keyed up on the frequency that everyone could hear, civilians including, that
they saw something.
They saw something, yeah. Or something was following them or whatever. And then he like cut off mid sentence and then they said, oh, he switched over to the secret NASA channel.
Apollo 12, second lunar landing with astronauts exploring.
See, now look at this here. Hold on. I just looked it up. It says Apollo 7 was the first test of the command and service module with a crew. The crew orbited the Earth 163 times and spent 10 days and 20 hours in space. The mission was the first opportunity to test the first of the new Block 2 spacecraft.
Well, you know what? I put in U.S. moon missions. So that wasn't actually a moon mission. It was a test mission for the craft.
Okay.
So that's why they came up like this.
So that was Apollo 7. I think they said Apollo 1 crashed. The mission never flew a cabin fire during a launch rehearsal test at Cape Kennedy Air Force Station, launched Complex 34. Oh, yeah. It was the crew. All the crew died.
Wow.
Three guys. Gus Grissom. We've heard that name. Gus Grissom. Ed White and Roger Chaffee.
Roger White.
Roger White.
So Apollo 13 experienced oxygen tank explosion, forcing the crew to abort the lunar landing and return to Earth safely. Apollo 14 in 1971 landed in Fra Mauro Formation, collecting extensive scientific data. Apollo 15, 1971, first lunar rover mission. Apollo 16, 1972, landed, focusing on geological exploration. And Apollo 17, the last Apollo mission, exploring with the longest lunar stay and the most lunar samples collected.
Oh, to back to your question, Michael Collins was the third.
Michael Collins, that was it.
Michael Jordan. He was a little young, but.
It was Tom Collins and Michael Jordan.
Tom Collins. He's up there crooning.
The Apollo program was the only successful lunar landing program by any nation. Other missions like Clemente and Lunar Prospector have explored the moon in subsequent years. NASA's Artemis program aims to return humans to the moon before the...
That's a badass in, Apollo 11 badge, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Eagle landing.
What's it holding in his hand?
America flag. It's America.
It's like pine needles.
What?
Like, I don't know.
Let me see.
Some kind of branch. Rosemary.
Could be. Rosemary and thyme.
Yeah.
That's what you cook an eagle with.
Oh, look, his other town, he's got a stick of butter in there.
So that's all the past U.S.
That's a lot.
I know.
And those were all, well, pretty much all successful.
Well, no, because like zero, Pioneer 01. One didn't leave the Earth's gravity. Zero failed with a launch malfunction.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying there's probably maybe a handful that were,
yeah,
weren't successful. That's impressive.
So that's, so we're going back to the moon. They want to go to the moon and set up a long-term stay to see what it would be like to be a long-term stay on Mars.
A bed and breakfast.
Yeah. An Airbnb.
Man, that's crazy. You'd think, like, to get all the equipment and material up there and build it. God, that's got to be expensive.
I guess you launch a couple unmanned things and have them drop the stuff on the moon. And
did you see, I think I've been watching a lot of these shows now, these, like, building shows where they're using basically plastic Lego blocks. And they're, like, super sturdy. And you literally, like, they're jumbo Lego blocks made of like plastic from the ocean and shit. And you snap them together and they're building houses with them.
That's cool.
So you think of rigidity. The weight is definitely a huge factor.
You just said a big word.
I did.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Hold on. That's not going to last long. But I think that would be something to, you know,
well, especially if they're using ocean plastic.
Right. So, but I'm saying like I think your biggest factor would be the weight. You know, you're not going to be fucking hauling steel beams up there, are you?
You would think whatever they take up is going to be composite.
Right.
Of some sort.
Yeah.
I don't know. My thing is this, and thinking about it, if you take this stuff to the moon, and usually these missions have two, maybe three guys on them, mm-hmm. how are three guys going to build a structure up there?
Yeah, they're not. It would have to be something you can literally like snap together. Like
are you going to sit in the lunar lander until it's built? Are you going to send several missions of two or three guys? Or are you going to send a mission with more than that?
I think they'd probably send a...
Garbage cans.
Oh. I probably think they'd send a couple rockets up. Maybe six or ten with three or four guys in them.
I don't know. I
something they could probably like... Where the rockets could like connect together. And they can have like a little... You know,
little space station going on.
Little space station, and then they can build from there. But you think you're going to have like fresh air? How the hell are you going to how do you make fresh air in a vacuum?
They use air scrubbers, so it like a rebreather almost. But that only goes so far,
right? Batteries. I guess you could probably use solar.
Oh, lots of solar.
Yeah, because you see like solar panels on all the space equipment.
There's nothing to block your solar light.
Anderson Windows.
Yep.
We see their commercials. By Anderson. You won't regret it.
I always wonder how they're going to put it together when they get there.
Yeah. Because you think like they'll like, what do they call that? Where you take each piece of equipment and they'll figure out like how much it costs to take into space. So, like, the weight of a hammer would cost, like, $50,000 to drive to space. You know, shit like that. Yeah, it's crazy, man. But that's why I applaud these guys. They're just geniuses.
Yeah, the way they figure stuff. Well, what was it? 13, Apollo 13? Is that the one that they had the explosion?
Is that the one, Houston, we have a problem?
Yes, I think. Yeah, 13. That's the one, the movie with Tom Hanks in it.
Mm-hmm.
The way they know every single thing that was on that and how to take this part and attach it to this part to do what you had to do to fix it.
Yeah.
That to me is amazing.
Oh, it's crazy.
You probably have, like, you have all these NASA scientists sitting there trying to think this, and some redneck comes in and says, oh, all you gotta do is duct tape the fingy bob to the mitch and
beat. Yeah, you know what, that'll actually work.
You got some redneck engineer coming in, well, fellas, you got it all wrong.
Yeah,
you take that little tubey thing and you stick it in that hole, put some duct tape around it, get a rubber band and pull it tight.
Sprinkle some Mountain Dew Code Red on it and you're good.
If you add spit to the tape, it sticks better.
Yeah, I'm. That's crazy to think that they're starting this already. So this is in the works.
Well, and they're not talking 10 years from now. They're talking
next year,
this year, next year.
Yeah.
And when did they say they want to go to the moon with a manned mission?
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, 25.
Artemis 3.
Yeah, Artemis 2 is going to be a crewed flyby. That's this year.
So they were thinking of, Elon Musk was, his idea was to nuke Mars, and that would create an ozone layer.
Terraform it.
Yeah. So you could then terraform it, but, I don't know. Have they publicly come out and said, yes, they found water on Mars? They said they found like, there's like ancient riverbeds and shit, but the water might be under.
Right.
Underneath
that. I don't think they know. Because that Mars rover one day just stopped sending pictures.
Did it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. We can get all the way out there too.
Yeah.
And did you see that movie with Sandra Bullock and
Yes.
George Clooney?
Yes.
And
was that Interstellar?
No, that was the one with, what's his face? Pretty Boy. Matthew McConaughey.
Pretty Boy.
Pretty Boy. And, no, that was the one with, first one I was talking about was they went up to space to fix something, and a solar storm came through or something.
But she ended up floating away in space and dying.
No, she made it back. George Clooney floated away and died.
Well, that's good.
And he froze to death.
Yeah, that.
And then
that's okay.
She almost froze to death, but then she snapped out of it. And I think she was in a. She made it to the Russian space station and then launched a Chinese rover off of that and then made it back.
You know what we just watched? We just watched, I think, a movie called Astronaut, and it was about the Russian space program. And I don't know who the astronaut was, but he was, it was the guy who played it was the comedian guy.
Bert Kreischer?
No.
He's a comedian.
No, I'm talking about when he Happy Gilmore.
Okay. Yeah. What I saw that. I was going to watch that.
The fuck's his name?
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah. It was a very serious role, I think.
Yeah, because I was like, dude, you don't ever see him in a serious
role. So the movie is very slow.
Okay.
To me, like 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
But I love 2001 right. Space. The science of it interests me. Uh-huh. And as did this one. So, and there's.
I'm going to give that a look.
I think it's worth a watch. I'll probably watch it one more time because I feel like I might have missed some stuff.
Yeah.
Even though it's slow building, but it's basically him on this mission. And I don't, at one point, I don't want to ruin it for you. You watch it.
I'll watch it.
We'll talk about that movie then.
All right.
We don't normally do movies, but we'll do that one.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Or they go in there with the guise of something else.
So let me ask you a question before we close out. You think it's worth it to spend all this money to go to the moon again?
Absolutely, I think so. It not only, puts to light the best and brightest minds of this world, but you never know what you're going to find out there. Like, someday we might have to say... Fuck, we got to leave this planet now. I probably won't be on that ship. So like, yeah, you don't get to go, buddy. How many times a week do you eat pizza? None. That's a lie. But I think it. Who knows? I've always been interested. I feel there's life out there, and then someday we're going to find it.
I think it's worth it. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And for some of the reasons you said too, but I also believe it really does power ingenuity.
Yes.
And technology.
Absolutely.
Because you got to figure out a way to do these things. If it doesn't exist, you have to make it.
Right.
And by making it, you might come across a technology that could help mankind on Earth.
There's a lot of overlap in I can't tell you right off the top of my head, but science and technology in the medical field. Sure. A lot of that stuff was,
So I'm going to tell you a quick story because I like listening to the sci-fi readings on YouTube.
Yeah.
I put them on while I'm driving. I just set the screen up. There's nothing to look at because they don't have stuff going along with it. So I just listen to them. I just listen to one. And the reoccurring theme in a lot of these is how awesome humans are.
Okay.
We're perceived as weak. We're perceived as this, but our determination and always overcome, whatever. So it's first contact with some kind of galactic alliance type thing.
Okay.
And it's almost like a caste system where the longer you've been in the alliance, the higher you are in the system. Mm-hmm. And they always try to make the newcomers are basically subservient to everybody in the alliance until someone else comes in and they move up the ladder a little bit. And so they make all these demands on a new coverage. You're going to provide us supplies and labor, and you're going to do this and this and this. So the human federation comes in and they have someone assigned to them to take them through the process. And they're talking and, this guy says, and it's like a universal translator of some sort, is telling them about this system that they have for all their worlds, that for them to be viable in space, they have to have 8 separate planets inhabited by their people.
Okay.
And only 2 of the people in the Alliance have that right now, but the other ones are moving towards it. Some have 6, some have 7, but only 2 of them have 8. And the human ambassador says, why 8? And the guy gives some kind of explanation. So they take him into this chamber and this to talk to the council. And he's like, the whole thing is to make him feel intimidated. And at no point was the human intimidated at all. And so they go through, everybody's putting demands on the humans. This is what you're going to do for us. This is what you're going to do for us. This is what you do for us if you're part of this alliance. And then he says, what if I decline your alliance? And he goes, then you won't have the protection and, you know, we'll make war and blah, 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 blah. And he lets them go through their threats and everything. And he basically says, you know, for a long time, we've wondered if we were alone in the universe. And we were very happy to find that we had neighbors out there. And but we spent a long time in space. So they assumed that this is the first time someone from the human race has been into space. Mm-hmm. But apparently they have colonized large asteroids, moons, and other planets. And they have like 18 of them. And they said, you know, we just wanted to know what kind of neighbors you would be, but I think you need to wonder what kind of neighbors we would be. And you're making all these demands on us, but all your worlds put together don't add up to what we have now. You know, so what kind of neighbor do you want us to be? And that's kind of how it ended. Is like,
and that's pretty cool.
Like, oh, fuck. How do you have 18 or 9, 20 or 30, whatever it is?
Yeah.
And he had asked the guy, the ambassador who was with him, like why only 8?
Right. You have more.
And he said that, like, the human ambassador said, like, you know, that's just a sign of complacency, you know, to not continue to grow.
Just think of what
we, I don't know, I find those interesting.
Think of what we would be doing. And plus, I think it's the aspect of the human nature. We just want to explore. And why not? That's the ultimate realm to explore is outer space. And come on, man, Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
It could be like that someday. But if we don't work on it, we'll never know.
I hope it is like that someday. And I wish I would have been alive for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fucking awesome.
But fuck it.
So instead of joining the Navy, you join the freaking...
The Galactic Alliance.
The Galactic Alliance.
Starfleet.
Starfleet.
And plus, what I like about those is pretty much most of the world is at peace with each other at that point, which would be freaking nice.
Yeah. Oh. There's always going to be that one faction or, you know, one whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, that's way off topic, but... So we talked about space travel. We talked about moon landings. And we took that on. Now you go take on the world.